This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back on the air. This is episode 421 for December 1st, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs. We'll show about technology and ministry where we focus on those intersections and have a good time doing it. And joining me in that fun, so to speak, is my podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Nice to be joining you again. I can't believe it's the 12th month of the year already. This is a year we really look forward to because it was the year we planned our first Wells Tech conference, and it's been a very fun year. We celebrated 400 podcasts, and here we are already at 421. Time flies.
Neat, neat. Before we jump into our topic of the day, I want to say thanks to you. Especially, but you and Gail for carrying on without me last week and the kind words you had to say about my father-in-law who's now in heaven, Pastor David Witte. I was tending to funeral arrangements there and meeting relatives, friends, you know, just a ton of people came up there. It was a really neat thing and to celebrate a life lived in God's service. And the neatest part for me, I guess, is kind of the legacy that he left. And you mentioned that on the show, too, the Through the Bible in 3 Years series. And 3 years of reading the Bible for us, and we still have that precious gift that that is there through the website and the mobile app where people can hear him read God's Word. That's kind of special. So thank you for doing that. And nice job with the show last week. It looks like you two had a lot of fun.
We did. Thank you, Martin, for your kind words. And certainly our hearts were with you and your family at that time. We will miss Pastor Witte, but it's a joy to hear him speak God's Word to us every day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. As you teased last week, we're going to talk about what could potentially be kind of a droll and dreary topic, and that's an operating system. But it's been getting a lot of good press, and we felt that we might spend a little bit of time talking about Windows 10. And one of the reasons we talk about it is we're getting, or at least I am getting, some questions on a fairly regular basis. Should I upgrade? Are there enough features there? Is it stable enough? Is it going to be a wise use of my time and resources to upgrade from Windows 7 or Windows 8 or whatever I'm using to go to the latest and greatest version? So this is our Windows 10 show, and we probably have a couple of different experiences. I've been using it for about 6 months or so, and you just installed it, so you kind of have that fresh eyes look at the experience, and we're going to talk through some of the tips and tricks that we found and some of the gotchas as well. So what do you think so far, Sally, at Windows 10?
Well, I am impressed with Windows 10. Actually, I guess I'm impressed because it doesn't seem that different, because it was a very smooth transition and a comfortable place to be. There's some enhancements, some new things that I like a lot, but I came from Windows 8. And Windows 8 stumped me a little. There was this extra screen to deal with that I'd end up on periodically and didn't quite know what to do with. And now we've gone back to having a start menu, a comfortable place for those that are coming from Windows 7 for sure. And so I think it was a pretty smooth transition for me, and one that I would certainly recommend to others.
I'm with you there. I don't see a compelling reason not to upgrade. We in the Synod office are just going through that in this month of December, so we feel pretty confident that the apps that we use day in and day out, which are probably pretty typical, are not going to have any compatibility issues. The hardware requirements is always a concern. Is that something that is going to get in the way of, you know, installing this? Do you have enough computing power available to you? And I would suggest that if you could run Windows 7 or Windows 8, Windows 10 is not going to be a problem. In fact, they're trying to unify the platform so that the you know, the same version or versions of the operating system will run on whatever device you're running, whether it's a tablet, a laptop, or now even you know, smaller devices like phones, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, there's some new things about Windows 10 that may make it pretty appealing to you. One of the ones that I like is the ability to have multiple desktops. Just jump right there, because that's something that many of us are juggling a lot of different things, and being able to kind of segment our work, our different windows we have open or whatever it may be, into multiple desktops can be a real valuable thing. So I'm just going to hop right into a screen share. I actually cleaned up my desktop for you guys, so hopefully it's presentable.
That was awfully nice of you for company, yeah. For the company. Yeah.
And I don't have Cortana expanded, but the first item on the taskbar down in the lower left is your start menu. Then there's the search area named Cortana, affectionately. But the third one is the one that I'm excited about, and it's the one that allows you to switch desktops. So it looks like a multiple desktop icon. And when you click it, you see your first desktop, and you have the option of adding more. You can switch to your second desktop. You can take the applications that are running on your first desktop and drag them to a different desktop if that's your desire. So lots of different options there with the desktops. And then if you're done with a particular desktop, you can just X to close it, and you're back in the single desktop view. So just being able to, for instance, shift gears for me between my work for Senate and my work for MLC, and maybe keep things open that I need to work with for each of those different areas, is a big bonus for me. So that's one that I really like.
Collect and gather different or similar types of applications on each desktop. So maybe you've got, you know, an email, you know, things, you've got web browser, maybe a Word document, something that naturally belong together and logically belong together. You can just quickly switch between those desktops. And there are some keyboard shortcuts that will get you back and forth between all those desktops, right?
Right. A lot of the keyboard shortcuts have to do with your Windows key on your keyboard. So Windows Control and the arrows left and right switch between the desktops. And Windows Control D will just add a new desktop for you. And we also found some help resources that we'll share in the show notes with lots more about working with multiple desktops. So if you struggle with maybe screen real estate and having a lot of things open at once, spreading it out across desktops might be a big help to you.
Yep. The next kind of big new feature that maybe we would talk about, and this could be very valuable depending on how you use your computer, is what you mentioned before, Cortana. Cortana is a voice recognition tool that's built in now to the operating system, similar to Google Now or to Siri. But Cortana is, again, that digital assistant. And I'm going to take a risk and try a quick demo of that. So let me also share my screen.
Did you clean it up for us?
I probably actually just shared the wrong screen. So let me do that again. There we go. Yeah, I did clean it up. So see, nothing. Nothing there.
Nice.
Nothing there whatsoever. Cortana's down in the bottom left, and you can configure her, I guess you'd call her, to just be a single box, so it doesn't take up as much space. You can click in there, and you can also configure it to respond to your voice. So if you said, "Hey Cortana," she would perk up and listen. And I don't have that set up, so I'm just going to click the microphone here, and hopefully she can actually hear me. So we didn't practice this ahead of time, which is always a challenge. Let me ask her a very simple question. What time is it? You can't quite hear. I don't have my volume turned up loud enough, but she tells me it's 4:10 and gives me where I am. When's my next appointment? There it is, which is Wells Tech recording. So I have found the voice recognition portion of this to be actually very accurate. I use a lot of different devices. I've used iPhones, and the current phone I have is an Android phone with Google Now. And I would say between the three of them, Google Now and Cortana are the most accurate in voice recognition. Siri is probably the least accurate and also the least helpful. So it's a feature that not everybody's going to use, but I think there are uses for it. Definitely, some people can find a lot of usefulness in not having to hunt and peck and just ask simple natural language type questions. And I think for me, that's what differentiates some of these from others, where you don't have to get the exact words right in the exact order to get a response. So that's the trick, with some of these things. So Cortana is, again, one of these features that's available on Windows 10. And I think come a long way since she was first released or launched.
And it basically is a search engine for the web as well as your local computer. Is that fair to say, Martin?
Right. I could ask her to obviously do web searches. So she would search Google or Bing, I think she would obviously use. But also search my local hard drive. She searched my calendar to find my next event. So definitely a kind of a universal or global search that it provides. So, yeah, it's a nice function and feature.
And one of the maybe quirky things are took me back was that you have to actually log into a Windows account to use Cortana, to use it fully. And that's a free account. You can sign up for one for free, but you do need a Windows account to make use of it. So just little quirky things. A couple of more things worth mentioning. One is new to Windows 10 is what's called their Action Center. It shows up down in the taskbar next to your clock in the lower right. And when you click on it, it would be any kind of system messages as well as things like your mail shows here. And then you can actually set up what kind of different modes and things you have displayed here. So lots of things can be captured in that Action Center, and it lights up, it turns to a white color if you have a new notification in the Action Center.
Yep, very helpful, and I think configurable, which is the nice thing. The one thing I don't like about the Mac is that they have this Notification Center, and you have very little control over when things come up. You can silence them, but only silence it for a day, whatever. The Action Center, you have a lot more control over, which I like with that. Another new thing that came out with Windows 10 is a new browser, and that is the Edge browser. And the Edge browser is kind of an interesting concept. We haven't had a new browser come on the scene for a long time. So I'm just going to open that up here. And one thing you'll notice that it is very clean. And that's kind of what they were after, is just the ability to have a browsing experience that is very fast, very clean, and not kind of get in your way. For whatever reason, it renders text a lot more crisper and clearer than any other browser that I've used, and a lot faster. Now, there are some downsides to having a new browser, and one of those is they don't allow any extensions yet. So if you're used to your Google Chrome extensions, you're going to be a little bit frustrated with the experience. Now, that is coming very soon, but it's not here yet. I heard early next year. A couple other things that come along with the new Edge browser is the ability to annotate. So if you click a button here at the top with a little pencil icon, let's see here. Maybe it won't allow me to annotate that page. Mm-hmm. Let me go into an article here and see if, there we go. So go into an article, and let's say I wanted to annotate something. We've talked about annotation tools before. This one's kind of built right in the browser. So now a little annotation bar comes on the top, and then I can use my finger if I have a touch screen and make annotations. I have the ability to to do a highlight, like so, and I have an eraser. I can make notations, so I can drag out a little text icon and enter some text, and I can delete that. I can clip sections as well. Just kind of a nice annotation tool, and then ultimately I can save my annotations. They call them web notes, and you can save it to OneNote, you can save it to your favorites bar, or you can save it to your reading list, and it saves it as a, gives you a link back to the page itself, but also gives you the annotations that you have as well. So actually pretty cool. They've done a nice job with that and built, again, right into the browser. I don't use it as my main browser right now, mostly because you can't get those extensions like LastPass and some of the Chrome extensions that we've talked about for webmasters, those kinds of things. But as those come on the scene, I'd be very tempted to go to a tool like this because of its speed, annotation, and ease of use. So it's got a lot of good things going for it.
So it has the same blue E icon, looks kind of like Internet Explorer, but it's a new flavor. I think you can still run Internet Explorer in Windows 10. It's just that this is a new.
Yeah, both, right, yeah. Uh-huh. Internet Explorer is still there, and as well as Edge. And then you can install any other browser you want, like we've been using Chrome without any issues. Mm-hmm. Maybe the last noteworthy feature we could talk about is the Start menu, which was a big source of controversy when Windows 8 came out because they went away from the traditional Start menu. They had a full screen, touch-friendly interface. It threw people. You kind of had two menus. You had a desktop menu. You had a Start menu. Now they've, I think, rectified that. So I found a nice video that hopefully we can share here. I'll dip the microphone and hopefully we can get some good audio out of this too.
Start menu is back in Windows 10. On the left, there's a list of apps you use often and ones you've installed recently. To see a list of all of them, select All Apps. Pin your favorite apps on the right. It's fully customizable. The Start menu is also where you can sign out. Get your settings, or shut down for PC. If you're using a tablet or have a touch screen, you might want the Start menu to fill your entire screen. Go to Action Center and turn on Tablet Mode. You'll have even more room for your apps, and you can always get to the rest of the Start menu options by selecting the menu button.
A quick video about Start menu. Hopefully you could hear that, Sally.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The video looks great. I just realized that full screen Start menu is there. It's just you have to turn that on. And so
right.
I'm happy to say goodbye to it. That was not my friend, but I get it.
One of the nice things about that Start menu, they've kind of combined and made it kind of the best of both worlds where, as she demonstrated, you could click and drag your favorite mm-hmm. programs onto that menu and reorder them or resize them. Very easy to do, and then drag things out and make it just kind of a better user experience. So I think they've done a nice job with this, and given the people who use tablets and or prefer the touch, mm-hmm. The bigger targets, as well as those who prefer kind of the traditional desktop approach with a mouse or trackpad, kind of the best experience for them as well. So I think they've kind of found that happy medium, that's probably why Windows 10 has been more fully adopted than Windows 8 ever was. So
definitely. Well, there's a few little tricks that I wanted to share as well while we're talking about Windows 10. Let's see if I can share my desktop one more time. Just got to figure out the right desktop to share. And one trick I wanted to show, and this is, again, kind of the challenge of having a lot going on in your life. Sometimes you have a lot of different windows, and windows get hidden behind windows, and you're trying to find the right thing, and maybe it's this window I want to work with, and I want everything else to go away. You can actually click on the title bar and shake it, and it minimizes everything else, and so that you can focus on the one window that you're interested in. If you do the same thing, click and shake again, it restores everything to the same spot that it was before. So that's a nice way to just zoom, you know, your focus onto one particular thing. Another nice trick is that you can drag a window to the edge, and it pops into a half screen view of it. And then it gives you all your other open windows that you can select from to, you know, fill up the other half of the screen. So good way to just kind of parse things out and make them display correctly and fill up a good amount of space. So one more trick, I believe it is, let me just look at my notes, the Windows key plus any number will give you, will allow you to open the things that are pinned to your taskbar. So you can see my taskbar, I have Outlook, I have Chrome, I have my Windows Explorer, my Mind Map, Notepad. Notepad's one of my favorite things, and I open it all the time. So if I just use Windows 5, then Notepad opens automatically for me, so because it's the fifth thing pinned on my taskbar. So just a couple of little tricks for you there in the Windows 10 world.
So just out of curiosity, what do you use Notepad for?
Oh, I use it for everything. I copy and paste a lot of text into there as kind of a holding ground, and also to clean the text. If I'm going to put it on a web page or something, I want to strip off all the extra coding that's part of it. How about you? Are you a Notepad fan?
Nope, I never use it.
Oh, wow.
I use OneNote all the time. That's kind of where my clippings go.
Okay.
And I don't have a lot of reason to quote-unquote clean text, although I know a lot of webmasters would need to do that. So good tip, though, and very quick and easy. It gets out of the way and does what it does very well. So
definitely.
A lot of help text, which is great news if you are just loading up Windows 10 and trying to get your arms around what all it can do. The screen I was on before just showed one of the pieces of that was the area of the, you know, some videos on the start menu. But you have all kinds of things on search, setting things up, Cortana, Windows Hello, which is a new security feature that allows you to, on certain computers, newer computers, use your fingerprint or your face recognition to log in. Microsoft Edge and all the other apps that go along with Windows 10 and beyond. So I think Microsoft has done a nice job with their help page, and obviously there's more stuff if you just do a quick search on the internet to find out what you can do with Windows 10, what the new things are, and even kind of give you step by step. Well, you used to be able to do this in Windows 7. How do you do it in Windows 10? Well, what happened from Windows 8 or 8.1 to Windows 10, those kinds of things. So nice stuff that they have online for help text.
We'll definitely include links to all that in the show notes, as well as a link to where you can download Windows 10. Windows 10 is free. I believe it's going to remain free for a full year, which they announced it this summer. So through next summer, if you have Windows 7 or 8.1 on your device, you can upgrade for free, and we'll include a link to that in the show notes as well.
Yep. So I guess you and I are in agreement. We would say, why not?
Why not?
We definitely do it before the free window expires. Doesn't make sense not to. I think there's a lot of good things going for it. I find it to be very stable. I've never had a blue screen or any kind of crashes with mine. I think it's ready for prime time.
Very good.
Sally, should we move along to our next segment, which is news and tech?
News and tech. They are. We'll have a link in the show notes to the to an article from USA Today announcing Facebook's Notify app. Came out last week. I have it on my iPhone. I think it may be iOS only at this point. Can't get it on your Android phones yet. I'm sure it's coming soon there. But the Notify app is basically like a news reader. And when you set it up, they have you select, you know, different channels that you want to follow. And basically, I went for a lot of the technology channels, and it's helping me for the podcast because I'm reading all kinds of cool technology news that I wasn't aware of. Like, I just got a message that Google's now letting you star images and add them to collections from image search. So they're going kind of Pinterest-like, but it only works on your mobile devices so far. But with Google Image Search, you can now kind of curate a collection of images there. So I wouldn't have known that except Facebook's Notify app told me so. So I'm enjoying it so far. It's pretty convenient just to use it as a little news reader feature on my phone and let it notify me of interesting things.
Yeah, I think that is Facebook's strategy lately, is to kind of break out or parse out different little utilities or tools that are kind of one-off. We saw that with their IM or their messaging app called Messenger. And now mm-hmm. we have this Notify app as well. I think that's probably a wise thing, so you're not just constantly adding more and more features to this behemoth, you know, app, and it just gets more and more confusing. Facebook, to me, is already confusing, has a lot of stuff available. If you break some of these out a little bit, makes a lot of sense. So when it gets to Android, or maybe I should try it on my iPad, see how that works. So
there you go.
Good deal. Let's move on to Wells Now.
And boy, this Wells is a happening place. We've got lots of Wells Now news, starting with a speaker in the Southeast Wisconsin area who's going to be talking about technology and ministry intersections. Who might that be?
Yeah, anybody who attended our Wells Tech conference this past summer, one of the highlights was Jim Aderman giving a 20-slide in for 20-second talk at the Ignite section or segment of our conference. Very fun to watch him do that. And he has kind of gotten the Wells Tech bug, and he has started a Southeast Wisconsin kind of intersections group, he's calling it, of birds of a feather around the Southeast Wisconsin area who are interested in technology and ministry topics. And they're having their second meeting. They had one here in the fall, which I wasn't able to attend. They're lining up another one January 9th. Of the new year, and they've asked me to speak a little bit about the best practices for building websites. So it's more a discussion group with a quick kind of a 20-minute topic presentation or discussion starter. They're going to meet at Divine Peace Lutheran at South 76th Street in Milwaukee, 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10:30 on January 9th. Next month. So if you are in the area and want to get involved with that, just show up, and I'm sure there'll be coffee, donuts, those kinds of things there. Come and talk about intersections between technology and ministry.
Always something new to learn, and fabulous way to learn it, to learn from each other's experience and kind of talk through and have, like you said, birds of the feather to bounce ideas off of and such. So great that they're doing that. Wish I could be there.
Yep.
Sounds like fun.
That's nice.
And that's just one of the things we want to announce in the Wells Now section. We also want to make mention that it's a new month, and that brings with it a brand new Wells Tech Photo Challenge. So this entire year we have been issuing the challenge for folks to take pictures and to share those pictures around different themes each month. And it's time to think about our themes for December. And we have three different themes that we want to announce today. That's Advent, Christmas, and a verse image on John 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming in the world. So lots of possibilities there. We'd love to be able to share your images in our online photo album. And if you haven't visited it lately, you should check that out. You can find it at bit.ly/WT Challenge Album. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. But it's growing by leaps and bounds. We're up over 250 images. They're all issued in the public domain. So you can take and do with them whatever you want to do with them. And we hope that you'll use them in your ministry settings to enhance whatever you're doing in your churches and schools. That's why we're behind the Wells Tech Photo Challenge.
I'm always interested to see some of the creativity of some of our photographers. Really, the idea is not just to look at a topic like Advent and take a picture of an Advent service or something like that, but different things around Advent that are maybe symbolic of the Advent season. Those kinds of things are always interesting to see what people use to represent very creatively the topic for the month. So Advent, Christmas, and John 1:9, which talks about true light coming into the world.
Very good. One more Wells Now event to mention, and that's a big event here at Martin Luther College coming up this Saturday and Sunday is the annual Christmas concert. And boy, if I were going to pick one concert, I think this would be the one that I'd need to attend because it's always just fabulous. Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 4 p.m. Those times are Central Time, of course. And you can tune in and watch the live stream if you can't be here in person. If you're here Saturday night, find me and say hello. I'll be ushering. So I'd love to meet you.
Nice. Yeah, just an encouragement to maybe visit all our Synod school sites because they all have some kind of Christmas concert. Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, I know that information is on their website as well. So take a look. This is always up. And I think all of them do live stream it now, which is kind of neat. So
very good.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
All right. I'm going to talk one more time, and then I'm going to give you a chance. My pick of the week is from the Proclaim website. So Proclaim is a project by the folks at Faith Life. They're the ones who bring us the Logos software, and they have this tool for cloud-based collaboration of worship presentations, basically. And with their Proclaim software, you get access to a lot of different imagery and motion videos and things like that. Well, today I got an email from them, and they are giving away for the month of December some really nice imagery. Let's see if I can share the images, actually, because I have them here all prepared for you, and I shared the wrong thing. Drag this over here. I bet it won't show because I didn't share it that way. Oh, nothing's ever simple, is it? You'd think I'd learn how to do this stuff. Anyway, they're giving away.
We've only been doing the video shows for, 150 episodes? So
something like that. I'll catch on eventually. Look, I can do it. They're giving away these three lovely slides. So a slide for Christmas Eve, one that's blank with kind of a snowflake background, and then one that says Merry Christmas on it. So those might be useful in your worship projection. They also have this motion video that just says welcome and has a snow effect. And so all four of those pieces of media are available for free. You simply go to this site, and let me just close, switch screens, and we'll have a link in the show notes. It's proclaimonline.com/freebie of the month with some hyphenation in there. And they actually prompt you to put in your email address. So they want to know who you are. You put in your email address and then they email you a link to get the files. So it's not just a quick download on the screen, but it's that simple. All they ask is your email address and then they email you the link. So if you're interested in those free media resources, then check out the link in our show notes.
Good pick. I like it. Very timely, very seasonal. Mm-hmm. My pick of the week is kind of geeky, but very useful. We've been, both you and I, Sally, are big Chrome fans. We like the extensions. We like the way Chrome does things. But one of the things we don't like about Chrome is some of the memory issues that occasionally crop up when you use Chrome. So I ran across a good article I wanted to share and just a little tip. And that is Chrome has a built-in task manager Many of you are familiar with task managers from your Windows days, and there still is a task manager on Windows 10 where you hit Control-Alt-Delete and you can pick your task manager, and allows you to see what's running, what kind of memory it's using. But Chrome has its own, and you just hit Shift-Escape, and it will pop up a little task manager of its own, and it'll show you all the things that are going on with Chrome at that particular moment. So it includes things like extensions. So if you've got, let's say, Google Docs or Hangouts or I mentioned LastPass before, OneNote, I've got a bunch of extensions. It shows how much memory they're using and how many CPU cycles they're using, which is usually the indicator that, that it is maybe a potential problem and maybe is the thing that's causing your fan to churn and whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can see here that my tab, Google Hangouts, is the one that's using the most CPUs right now. And that's understandable because that's our video. But occasionally you won't know what it is just by looking at your tabs. Excuse me. And you will find this to be very useful to dig in and see, you know, what is causing my system to slow down, rather than closing all of Chrome and starting it again, which is usually kind of the thermonuclear approach that you have to do. You can actually go in here and close different things just by clicking on them and clicking end process, and that will kill that tab or that extension that is causing problems. Sometimes it's a JavaScript thing, sometimes it's a Flash thing. It's kind of gone wild or rogue in a tab that you want to get rid of. So Shift Escape, or you can get at it from the menu in Chrome as well. The hamburger menu on the far right, there's a task manager link there, which would give you the ability to do the exact same thing. So great utility, especially if you use Chrome to kind of clean things up when things have gone horribly, horribly wrong with your Chrome browsing experience. So
that's definitely one that I'm going to remember, Martin. That's a great tip. Thank you for that.
Let's move on to our ministry resources section.
All right. And I should share my screen again if I can figure out how. I wanted to share a Facebook page that I follow, and I'm not affiliated with it, and I don't vouch for everything that's on it, but it's a Katie Luther public figure Facebook page where someone's taken the opportunity to write about the history of the Luther family. And I find it very enjoyable to read some of the different posts that are on the page. And like I said, there's a variety here, and maybe you need to use a little discernment. But for the most part, the posts are around historical things in Martin and Katie Luther's life. Like this is quoting from a letter where Martin writes about looking forward to his upcoming wedding and some of the things that he looked forward to with that. And at times she's written about things like what it was like for Katie to be a housewife in the age that she lived in and feeding all the people that Martin brought to the table. Here's a recent one that talks about the family that Martin lived with when he was in school and how she was almost like a second mother to him, Ursula Kata, in some town in Germany that I can't pronounce, so I won't try. So lots of different posts here, mainly historical, about the history around the Luther family. And I just find it really, really interesting. I enjoy history a lot, and I think if you are like that, you might enjoy following the Katie Luther page on Facebook. Sometimes I share them on my own page as well.
Very nice. Interesting concept that I'm sure will become more and more popular as we get closer and closer to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So that takes us to our featured video.
Yep, and we want to feature, being Advent and Christmas just around the corner, take our videos in December and feature different Advent and Christmas hymns. This week we're going to start with a video from Koine, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and I think this is one that you will enjoy. It's got some line drawing that you follow the story of Jesus' birth as you follow the lines and drawings, and you get to enjoy the beautiful music of Koine along for the ride. So check out Koine's O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll have it embedded on our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net. I should jump right over there, Martin, while I'm talking about it, and just give it a quick shout out and make mention that you can visit wellstech.wells.net to communicate with us, which we always love to hear from you. There's all kinds of social media channels featured along the top. So if you're a Pinterest fan or a Twitter fan or whatever it may be, take time to share your tech and ministry successes with us so that we can all learn from them. And again, you can do that over at wellstech.wells.net. We love to hear from you.
Very good. So that's going to about do it for this week's show on Windows 10 and other things. Looking forward to next week as we continue writing our book. With All Your Heart is the name of our book, Project Management for Churches, Schools, and Faith-Based Organizations. We tackle a big and sometimes very challenging topic, and that is meetings and meeting management. Seems like nobody likes meetings, but maybe they're not as bad as we think. There are some tools and some tips and tricks that we're going to talk about, and we're going to invite the faster pastor on the show, Pastor Rob Gunther from Kenai, Alaska, to talk about some things that he does to make his meetings, his council meetings, more productive. So you're going to want to tune in next week for all of that and so much more. Thank you all for joining us, and we will talk to you next week. Blessings. Bye-bye.